The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
Well, good morning. Glad you're here with us this morning. I am so excited about the next 21 days. We are challenging you to spend the next 21 days in prayer and fasting. Now, we have resources available. There is a book at the back called 21 Dangerous Prayers we'd like for you to take. And then also in your bulletins today, there is a guide to fasting. I know many of you probably have never fasted, so we wanted to give you some resources to help you do that. And we are have resources available to help you get most out of this time as we intentionally seek God. Now, anytime we look to the Lord and we deny ourselves for the purpose of seeking Him, this is the time where God meets us and He moves in a powerful way. I believe that if we intentionally focus over the next 21 days in prayer and fasting, that we will see God doing more than we could ever imagine. Now, we've been exploring an amazing prayer by Paul in Ephesians 3. And at the end of this prayer, Paul breaks into a time of praise. Let's look at Ephesians 3:20. Here's what it says. It says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." It is not only that God, what God can do, but it's the fact that He can do immeasurably more. It is more than you could ever measure. It is better. It's bigger than we can even imagine in our wildest dreams. And He doesn't do it by pushing us around, but He does it by working within us. The Holy Spirit works deeply within us to change our world. Now, as we enter these 21 days of prayer and fasting, I suggest that you post this verse somewhere where you will see it every day. This Ephesians 3:20. So that you will be reminded that God is going to do so much more than you can imagine in your life, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your work, and in this church. More than we could ask or imagine, request, or even think about. Now, as God is moving and doing more than we can imagine through us and for us, it's important for us to understand that He's going to do more than we can ask or imagine in us. Many times the answers that we are seeking from God are occurring outside of us. We're praying for people who are ill. We're praying for God to touch people's lives, to protect people. But if those answers don't change us inside, then we've missed a great opportunity. See, when God is working through and around us, we have an opportunity for our faith to be built. Our intimacy can be increased, and our walk with God will be strengthened. See, God's work in us is crucial to us experiencing more than we could ever imagine from God. I'm going to go back to Ephesians 3:16 and 17. This is what it says. It says, "I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love." See, it's interesting what Paul is asking here. We need to think about it this way. At salvation, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of us. We know this from 1 Corinthians. He says, Paul says, "Do you not know," in chapter 6, verse 19, "that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." See, in the Old Testament, there was the tabernacle and then a temple for His people. But in the New Testament, He has people for His temple. He lives inside of us. So if the Holy Spirit is in us, what does it mean when Paul asks that Christ might dwell in your heart through faith? Now, technically, we know that God the Father is in heaven, right? He's seated on His throne, and Jesus the Son is at the right hand of the Father. That is their physical location. And then the Holy Spirit lives in us. Now, what Paul is talking about is a mystery that many people who call themselves Christians may never have experienced. But it is a mystery that takes us deeper in Christ and helps us experience His power and love. Because he always wants to work power in love in your life and the life of others. This is what it means for Christ to dwell in us. The more we grow in Christ, the more real he becomes to us. See, one way to measure spiritual maturity in your life is to ask, how real is Jesus to you? The more we grow in Christ, the more he is revealed to us in our heart, or the more he reveals himself to our heart. Jesus said this in John 14, 21. It says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. If we are obedient to God's commandments, and that means we love God and we love Christ, we love the Father, and Jesus loves us and he will show himself to us. I mean, Jesus is not revealing himself to us for salvation. I'm not talking about the first time you believe in Christ and you say, oh, that's who he is. I get it. No, that's not what he's talking about. That's already occurred. He is revealing more of himself to us for revelation, for sanctification. But we must have his commands and we must obey them. Do you really know Jesus Christ personally? Now, I don't want you to answer that standpoint from the point of salvation. Because I'll be honest with you, you could be saved and still answer that question with a no. Do you know Jesus as a person, just like you know others who are important to you in your life? Is Jesus real to you? Not in the sense that he really existed, but do you know him personally? Do you experience him in your life daily, moment by moment? Is he part of your life? You know, my wife and my family, they're part of my life. Jesus needs to be part of your life. Has there been a time when Jesus revealed himself to you? And is he continuing to reveal more and more amazing things about who he is as your days go by and as you draw closer to him? Galatians 1, 15 through 16 says, but when God, who set me apart from birth, Paul's talking about the fact that, you know, when God set him apart from birth and called him by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man. Paul did not go to the disciples and learn from them. No, Jesus himself spoke to Paul. Jesus himself revealed himself to Paul. This is a revelation of Christ in us, and it's very important. Hudson Taylor was a missionary in China, and he started about 1,500 churches there. And he was known to pray daily that Jesus would reveal himself daily in a personal and intimate way. That's what we need to be praying for, is God revealing himself in me and to me in a personal and intimate way. See, our relationship with Jesus should be more real, more intimate, more close than any human relationship we have. When Jesus reveals himself to us this way, we will have a joyful union with him and enjoy being in his company. I want to be with Christ. I enjoy being with Christ. I long to be with Christ and have that intimate relationship with him. Is Jesus a person that you know, that you love, and that you enjoy? If not, then you may not know Jesus. You may know of Jesus, but you don't really know Jesus. So what Paul is talking about here in Ephesians 3:17 is this presence of Christ in your heart. Not the presence of the Holy Spirit, but also the personal relationship with Jesus, who is a person that you know, you love, and you enjoy. So here's what he says. He says in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. See, Paul's saying that Christ dwells in our hearts. And as he dwells in us, you will become more like him. One of the attributes of God that everybody loves is to immediately, if you ask somebody, well, who's God? Oh, God is love. And it's true, he was. And he is. Jesus was sent to earth to die for us because of his love for us. And he didn't wait for us to love him back. No, while we were still sinners, he loved us. Our hearts must be rooted and grounded in love. And the two pictures that I have in my mind is one of a tree and then one of a building. See, a tree is rooted in the ground. The roots dig in and grab the soil and draw nutrients through the soil. We just planted a cherry tree, and when we got it, it was probably about 4 foot tall and had all these roots in the bottom, and the leaves were like yellow. So we planted the tree and we watered it. And within a few days, the leaves were turning green because the roots had gotten down into the soil and were pulling nutrients up out of it. And see, when we have a deep encounter with Christ, we experience his deep love for us. And then suddenly we are rooted in his love. And just like the soil provides nutrients for the tree, love should provide nutrients for our lives. We take God's love for us and begins to produce love in our life. Now, we can try to make ourselves like Jesus and try to love people. I mean, I can force myself to love people, but we're going to fail every time because you can't. You can't force yourself to love somebody. See, the problem with a lot of Christians is that they are trying to act like Jesus without being rooted in the love of Jesus. And there's something off. It is not real love. It's superficial. And when struggles happen, when conflict, when disagreements occur, and they will, there's no doubt they always do, that person doesn't respond with that deep love that Jesus says we should have for each other. See, if I'm firmly planted in God's love, then I draw that love up through me and it is displayed to those around me. No matter what the circumstances, they know that I deeply love them. This other picture I have in my head is of being grounded like a building. A building has a sense of permanence. You know, in order for you to build up a building, you have to first build down. You have to create a foundation. You put it in the ground. There's this house on a piece of land that my dad owns back in West Virginia where my grandmother, his mother, once lived and was born. And if you go back there today, I mean, and so this was a long time ago that it was lived in. But if you go back there today, you can still see the outline of the foundation. It lasts a long time. The rest of the house is gone. But that foundation is still there. See, both of these pictures, this picture of a tree being rooted and the building and the foundation, are amazing pictures of how love should lead our lives. Love for God and love for each other. Paul is building a foundation. He is saying that we need to have a revelation of Christ and be rooted in love so that we can grasp what? How wide and deep and long is the love of God. In order to grasp the immensity of God's love, we need to have a foundation in God's love that begins with a revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul very seldom mentions faith without mentioning love in his letters. Because if you operate in faith but do not love, you have nothing. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, which takes faith, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I'm noise. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I gave away all I have and I deliver my body up to be burned, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. Now, I would argue that if you say you have faith, but you don't have any works, you do not have love. So what do we need to do in order to experience God doing more than we could ask or imagine? Well, part of it is faith, yes. But that faith needs to be rooted in love. God's grace expressed in our life and power without love can hurt people. Not because of God, but because the instrument he's using is not operating in love that honors God, gives God glory, or brings unity. Church today has a love problem. We say we love, but it doesn't look like it. Our church here, Living Faith, is sometimes known as a friendly church. People say we are a friendly church. But I have to ask the question, are we a loving church? And some will say, yeah, but I'll be honest with you, we are not nearly as loving as we should be. And how do I know that? I know that because this pew is empty. And this pew is empty, and this pew is empty. If we were truly the kind of church that Jesus talks about that needs to be grounded and rooted in love, then this church would be bursting at the seams because we love each other and we love others so much that the world says, wow, there's something going on. I need to be part of that. That's the standard. And we fall short. We fall short as a church, and we fall short as individuals. Now, a few things about being rooted in love. We should know God loves us individually. He loves us individually. I mean, do you know how much God loves you? We have to settle that in our heart. We need to know that he loved me so much that he sent his son to die for me. And then we need to love God. I need to love God with all of my heart. Not to earn God's love, because I already have it, because he loved me before I was even born. But so that when God does things through me, I'm expressing God's love. We're to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, if we don't love those around us that we can see, how can we love God who we haven't seen? Look around you. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. They are co-heirs with Christ. We need to love each other. We need to love each other not superficially, but as much as we love ourselves. And we've got to love our enemies. Anybody can love those who are nice to them. You're nice to me, I'll be nice to you back. No, that's not what God says. That's not what Jesus says. He says you are to love your enemies. Love those who persecute you. Can you love the person who hates you? Can you love those who insult you? Those who lie about you and lie to you? Those who are unfair to you? That kind of love is supernatural. In our humanness, we can't do it. With God, all things are possible. This is where you find out if you truly love. We need to love God's command. Psalm 119:97 says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Do you love his word? Do you long to read it? Do you long to hear it? Do you long to meditate on it? To take it in, to have it change you? Or do you look to God's word and say, oh, it's just another thing I have to do? As we go through these 21 days of prayer and fasting, and if you're going through the book that has a devotion and then it has a prayer, and it's talking about Scripture, do you long for that? Do you long to pull God's Word out and open it up and read what He says? Do you serve out of love? I mean, anybody can serve in the church, but there's a difference between the one who serves out of love and the one who doesn't. There are things we can do, but if we can do it out of love, it is much more effective. And serving in love begins with being rooted in love. Before that, Jesus dwelling richly in your heart? Have you had a deep revelation of Jesus in your heart? We need it. And Jesus wants to reveal himself to us and for you to view him personally and enjoy being with him as a real person. If you've never experienced that, or if it's been a long time since you've experienced that, then I suggest that as we begin this time of fasting and prayer, one of the greatest things that can happen is a fresh revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the first time revelation of Jesus in your life. As the worship team comes and sings, "I Love You, Lord," I want us to think about that. Do I truly love him? And if I truly love him, does it show? Does it show? Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.